Musings Podcast with Fairbairn and Russell. Welcome back to the Market Musings Podcast, where today we are talking to Charlie the Geo, and we're going to be focusing on Canada and particularly some of the projects that Panther Metals has out there. So, hello, Charlie. How are you doing?
Very good, thanks. And yourself?
Yes, doing good. Everything good in the UK with you?
Yes, I'm sitting in a rather rainy office in London, looking out over was the Elizabethan line being developed at the moment. So,
Oh, a new tube line. Oh, how fun. And Kenny, what's it like with you?
It's a bit of a blizzard at the moment up in Scotland, but unfortunately it's not mine. But it's pretty miserable up here. A lot of snow in Scotland. But just got on with it. That's the way it is. Just got to go on with the work. But it's good to have you back on, Charlie. I think it's been a few months since we last spoke. I'm trying to think. It was probably as well before Christmas anyway.
Yeah, no, we've had quite a busy time here in at SI. So everyone's been keeping me busy.
So we're going to talk about Panther Metals. Obviously, Panther is completely a gold-focused explorer in Canada and Australia. Now, we'll leave Australia for another day. Today, we're just going to focus on Canada and in particular Ontario and the sort of Schreiber Hemlock Greenstone Belt, which is a massive area in Ontario. So what can you tell us about this Greenstone Belt? What's so critical about this belt, Charlie?
Well, it sits along, basically you've got a number of plates crashing together, and as a result is creating a number of geological events, which has just made it incredibly mineral endowed, from some volcanic massive sulfides, which would have appeared as plates pulled apart and kind of black smokers forming at the bottom of the seabeds, to later stages where thick layers of magma intruded into the rock. As a result of associations with sulfide-rich sediments, created nickel-copper PGE deposits across the area. And then you also then have, when this whole system is buried even further, these shear zones which create orogenic gold-forming conditions. And as a result, it's just become this incredible hotspot. We were just talking before starting this podcast, when you do look at a map of Ontario, it's dotted with existing mines, old mines, new projects. Everything's constantly kind of there's new discoveries being made across this whole place, and it's quite incredible. Maybe it's just Canada being so large. I don't know, it is quite a incredibly mineral area.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of the old mines that have been shut down maybe 20, 30 years ago because they were uneconomical. Are now getting picked up again. There was one that caught my eye the other day. It was I think it's Crops Inc., which is a TSX listed company, and they're bringing a zinc mine back to life. So there's plenty of activity in the area.
And there's also the concept of new metallurgical processing coming in, which has suddenly enabled a lot of these complex processing ore bodies to be extracted.
Yeah, and there's such a wide variety of commodities as well. I mean, obviously, you look at, you know, Victoria, it's you know, probably 95% gold focused in that area of Australia, but you look at Ontario and you've got gold, you've got silver, you've got lead, you've got zinc, you've got nickel, you've got PGMs, you've got copper. I mean, there's probably rare earths in the mix as well. I mean, there's just an absolute, as you say, it's just totally mineralised with just about probably every commodity that the battery metal industry needs going forward. That's probably why there's such a massive interest in the area, over and above the gold.
Mm. And certainly, again, it's a safe jurisdiction as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's also going to be a key driver in moving forward, as well as it seems to be countries become more and more nationalized, being able to have self-sustaining sources of raw materials is going to become key. So I guess for Canada and hopefully the UK can benefit as well from that, I guess.
And that, what I didn't really appreciate as well, when you think about Ontario and obviously it's out in the wilderness, or the access will be terrible, blah, 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 but it's not, because there's so much forestry going on in these areas that the road networks are actually tremendous. So most of the projects that you see in the area, they've got fantastic access. So it's not that wilderness that maybe people have got misconceptions of. It's very accessible. There's infrastructure there. You know, there's the people are highly skilled. The government or is it states in Canada? I don't know. What is in Ontario? What do the states in Australia? I don't know what it is in Canada. Mark, do you know? You're quite intelligent that way.
Say what? The states? I don't know what you
mean. Is it states in Canada? I don't know.
Oh, states. Called. Oh, like provinces. Oh, I think it's provinces. Yeah, they call it provinces.
Yeah. I knew you would tell me.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So, I mean, all the provinces in Canada are very mind and friendly. So, it's, as you say, Charlie, it's a great jurisdiction to be operating in. So, I've waffled enough. So, let's go on to Panther Metals in Canada. So, they've got two main sort of project areas, basically the Big Bear project and Dotted Lake. I think we're going to start with Dotted Lake, Charlie.
Yes, certainly. In particular, Dotted Lake's quite an interesting little project, because not only have we got these quite incredible gold grab samples, historic ones, as well as ones taken by the team. So I've just noted some of these from historic channel samples of 9 grams a ton and 23 grams a ton. We know that this area is mineralized, and the team have identified a shear zone, which they're looking to target and running through their property. But what's quite interesting as well is that the actual mineralization of which the structure that is looking to be tested is within a unit which is well known, a long strike from that, to host some quite considerable and exciting nickel copper PGE projects of their own. Just because in geology, I guess a key factor that should be kept in mind is that when you have one weakness in the rock, it's most likely that that same weakness will be repeatedly used over the generations, the geological evolution of that area. And as a result, you can get overprinting and associations of the same structures with different mineral deposits. And this is something that Panther is starting to play with. They've got gold mineralization that indicates is associated with the shear zone. But what about some of these magmatic sulfide ore bodies that would have also been using that same weakness within the rock during a different geological event? And that's something I think the team are looking at in a little bit more detail, because they are within this mafic, ultramafic unit, and that's the same form of rock-forming types that these magmatic systems form. So I guess we can quote a couple of other companies who are looking at the similar style of mineralization. Power Metals down in Botswana at their Malopo farm, and also in Botswana, you have Kavango resources at their Kalahari Suture Zone. Similar geological structures here, where they've had a major fault, which has allowed magmatic or very basic magma to rise up And as it rises, it interacts with the sulfides within the host rock. And as a result, these sulfides basically create flocculants within the magma as it rises. And it basically takes all of the metals that we have that are of interest to us, copper, as I said, nickel, and the platinum elements. They form into these globules, which are dense, and they settle at the bottom of whatever structure they can find to support them as lavas flowing through. Because remember, this is a dynamic system, and this dynamic system where lavas coming up, interacting, and precipitating these elements all at the same time. This is constantly kind of a flow of material coming through, and eventually that cools, settles, and creates these ultramafic units. And within them, at depth, within certain little flowing, if you imagine these rivers flowing through these kind of meanders, they've precipitated in these little catchment zones and these pockets of sulfides. Mm. And that's another possibility that Panther could have at this place.
Yeah, and since acquiring this, I mean it's quite large. I think it's about 40 square kilometers, which is quite chunky. Because what I've noticed in the interior is they don't tend to. It's not like Australia where somebody goes and picks up like a 400 or 500 square kilometer exploration license. They tend to pick smaller packages here and then sort of build on them over time. I think that's what Panther's done as well, because this started off as quite a small footprint, and then I think it tripled in size with some other acquisitions. So Panther's been pretty smart, and what was fractured before, they've now put it into one package, and they have flown some surveys over this area already, haven't they?
We've got some airborne magnetic and electromagnetic surveys that have gone over there, which I think they're indicating. I can actually use a long strike to them. There's a quite good target that has been intercepted, actually talking specifically about these magmatic ore bodies, would be Palladium 1's. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, the Tycho project. And that was actually, so it had some historic drilling done in that area. But they used a EM survey over there. And from that, they've made some quite fantastic discovery of some quite significant grades. So they're initially following up on a it's just over 4 meters at 1.09% nickel, 0.77% copper, and platinum of 0.42, the same actually with palladium. So that was a great target to initially go after. EM survey was done to show this quite interesting looking target. And since then, they've gone in, done some drilling late 2020, and we've recently seen the drill results coming out. It's actually something Darren pointed out to me, was actually how fantastic these results are. So we've got 6.1% nickel equivalent over 7.5 meters, and that's relatively shallow at 5.3 meters downhole. It's at surface. This is the nickel ore body at surface, and it does. When you look at the cross sections, Palladium One have put on their website some great cross sections of the ore body, and you can see it initially steeply dips, and then it seems to kind of plateau out to a more shallower subvertical sloping ore body, which they're continuing to drill out, and. Yeah, that could be open pittable, and that sits within the same structure as what the dotted lake area as well.
Yeah, and they've got multiple targets. I mean, that's not just the only target they've got on their prospect. I mean, I think we should just point out that Palladium 1 probably sits about, I'm going to guess, probably about 10 kilometres to the east of Panther Metals Dotted Lake property.
Mm-hmm.
I might stand corrected. Darren will probably message me and say, you got that wrong, Russell. You need to do your research better. But I think it's about 10 kilometres east. And as you say, they've drilled Tycho, but they've also got about three other prospects that are drill ready within their footprint as well. So there's a huge amount of activity from Palladium 1. And they actually raised, I think they intended to raise $12.5 million when it was completely oversubscribed. And it was they ended up with 15 million Canadian they've raised. And I think a good portion of that has been assigned to this footprint, 10 kilometres east of Panther. So I think pretty much in 2021, they're going to be drilling the hell out of this footprint. And I'm led to believe as well, I mean, even though it's the middle of the winter, it's actually better to drill in the middle of the winter than it is during the summer in Ontario. So I imagine they're going to be pretty active over the next 3, 4, 5 months. I think that's the way you do. You do your on the ground exploration during the summer, and you drill it in the winter. Charlie, is that the?
That is what I've heard. I've not actually worked in Canada myself, but no, I think ground conditions are meant to be much more favourable, just because you can get onto sites which would have originally been more swampy. And yeah. I've certainly had my own experience of trying to drill on swampy ground, and. That can be a challenge to move the rigs. If you imagine how large these things can be, and sitting or moving it across bogland, even if the ground you're going to be drilling on is firm, you've got to be moving across these swampy areas. So I know certainly from friends who've worked in Finland, who've being on the snow. Going across what would have been swampland and marshes, it's a lot easier logistically. So, yeah, we should be seeing a lot more from that. But I think if people did look at Palladium 1, something that should be noted is their main asset is in Finland, actually. Another palladium-rich ore body, shallow, very large, open, pittable, but low-grade, ore body looks fantastic, but I think that's been now that they've seen these new drill results, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more excitement, because these high grade drill results they only came out at the beginning of January. Yeah. So I'm going to be quite, and then the recent fundraising, I think that's an indication that they're suddenly going to be looking back at this area and thinking how exciting it actually is.
Yeah, 100%. So what's the next move for Panther then with their Dotted Lake prospect? I mean, they've flown the surveys, they've got their targets. Are they going to hit the ground running with some drilling, or do you think they'll go back in the ground first, do a bit more bits in the ground stuff?
I believe that there's going to be, it's for Darren and the team, of course, to decide, but certainly some drilling, looking for structure, and understanding the geology in more detail would be the thing I would be looking to do. The ore body, or the ore bodies that may be there, you're going to have to understand that investors need to understand that you can only progress a target or de-risk a target from surface so much, and then you've got to take the risk and actually drill something. And even if that isn't, I would actually take Greatland Gold, for example, in the Scallywag project as a good example. They can de-risk that to a certain extent, and then you've got to drill it. And once you've drilled it, it doesn't have to be a hit. It just needs to tell you, what's the geology doing at depth, whether that's structural information, lithological information, and if possible, alteration. Because alteration, as these fluids move up through the rock, remember, though the gold or the nickel is associated in one small patch, the fluids associated with that system are quite extensive, and they will spread out throughout the rock. And looking at little slight geochemical or trace element geochemistry, you can start to indicate, and it kind of points a direction of where to start looking. Mm-hmm. So for Greatland Gold, they had some tiddly copper and gold intercepts, which actually are really exciting. They're really interesting kind of bits of evidence to take forward to your next study to progress the target. And I think that's something that Panther now is going to be looking at this system and kind of going, okay, we can understand this to an extent. We get some holes in this, understand the system. And so I'm kind of, I guess, in to some extent, sitting on the fence here. If they drill, they may not necessarily hit the mother load straight off, but I can tell you for certain that the geologist will be looking at that and saying, okay, now we know exactly where to be going. And that's something I'm really, really excited about.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. And in the area in general, I mean, out with Palladium 1, I mean, there's just so much activity. I mean, you actually look at the Panther presentation. I mean, the Hemlow Mine's only 18 kilometres south. And in between that, I think you have Hemlow Explorers. And I think they are doing 20,000 metres of drilling as we speak. You know, so Panther's in this great position that they've got Palladium 1 to the east of them, drilling the hell out of that property. And they've got Hemlow Explorers, I'm sure, they're only like a kilometre south of the Dotted Lake footprint. They're drilling the hell out of that. So they could actually sit and really do nothing and just watch what's going on. I know they won't, but it's a great position to be in. There's so much activity around about them.
Yeah.
Every discovery just increases the value of your property.
Well, I think also sorry to jump in, but I think also one thing that Panther is able to do by looking at these other exploration companies, what they're doing at the moment, is work out what works and what doesn't work. What was value for money in de-risking a project?
Yeah.
And certain exploration techniques might work particularly well. Like as I would indicate that being that Palladium 1, their EM survey has defined out quite a nice resource for them, that would actually be a good targeting method to do. Whereas maybe IP, maybe these ore bodies aren't associated, or let's take the gold, it might be more free gold than refractory gold, and therefore less sulfides in the system, and an IP survey might not be able to indicate the main parts of the system in that way. Or maybe it does. I generally quite like IP surveys for these sorts of things, so they're more localized studies. But anyway, I'm trying to indicate that some things have got more value than others, and having lots of explorers going on, producing new exploration models, and Panther being able to, because we're not talking about these projects which are close by just because of neurology. They're good analogies for what Panther could be sitting on as well.
Yeah, definitely. And just a small point to finish in Dotted Lake as well. Obviously, we've now got another UK company with an interest in the area. Pearl Metals in the last couple of weeks has picked up a package of land that just sits right between Dotted Lake and Palladium 1. So it's obviously good for Panther that Pearl Metals are in the area as well, and knowing Paul Johnson, he won't be hanging about there. He won't be sitting waiting for to see what others are doing. He'll be on the ground as soon as possible. So yeah, no, it's definitely a great area to be in, and Panther have done well to build up that nice footprint there. Anything else to add, Charlie, before we move on to Big Bear?
No, I guess there's only one other project that I'd possibly draw people's attention to, and that's a much later stage project called Generation Mining, also within that area. They've got PEA out from last year. They're doing a feasibility study, which will be coming out sometime this year. And That again, a good analogy of what these ore bodies could be. So that's one of the largest palladium projects, actually, in open pit palladium projects in Canada. And again, it's a great way to see, okay, what economics worked there. And just to throw out what they have produced, so they own 80% of this project, 8.67 million tons of palladium equivalent ounces. This is in the measured and indicated category, and that's given them IRR of 35%, an NPV of 1.18 billion Canadian dollars. So it looks like a very exciting project, and they're still looking at more extensions to that ore body. And I think it just is a great way of showing there are some actual proper elephants in the area for the nickel space, not just the absolute monster that Hemlo is.
Yeah. And maybe I should just finish off by saying as well is that Panther have 100% of the dotted lake. It's not owned by anyone else. So, brilliant. Mark, are you all right there? I appreciate me and Charlie have just been talking away.
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm good. I'm just listening. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Right. Moving on to the Big Bear project. Now, this was actually Panther's first acquisition, I believe, in the whole company, I'm trying to think. And since then, they've added to the footprint several times, and they've now got this sort of rather large, I think it's about 50 square kilometres. It's bigger than Dotted Lake, but they've got this contiguous block of 51 square kilometres, and it's just sitting in a perfect location. I mean, directly south, and I'm going to say I think it is adjacent. I've not looked at the MLAS system for a while, but I think directly south is the Ready Set Gold, which is I can't remember the name of the previous company, but Ready Set Gold are a new TSX company, and they've taken over the North Shore Gold Project, and I believe it's got an NI 43-101 of circa 1 million ounces. But I think you know more about Ready Set Gold than I do, Charlie?
It's a fantastic project that they've got over there. It's got two shear zones, the Afric zone, which has been drilled out quite extensively over the past few years, and more recently discovered, Gino zone, I think it's pronounced, which has also been drilled. Currently, they're looking at actual connections between these two major fault zones. And actually, that's something that's, again, worthwhile having a look at, is some of the nuggets that have come out from the drilling there and some of the grab samples. Absolutely fantastic kind of nuggets, which kind of, I don't know how to describe them, but it's very beautiful looking pieces there. But great ore body. I don't know quite much more to say about it. They're drilling it out, developing out, and
they've got plenty of money to drill it. So again, it's almost like a Dotted Lake situation. So you know, Big Bear's sitting right next door. These guys are drilling it out. And just going back to Big Bear, I mean, I'm just refreshing my memory of the. I mean, some of the historical data that they've got for this Big Bear project is tremendous. I mean, they've got some tremendous rock chip samples, and I was actually trying to find it. I think it's called, from memory, and I'm just doing this from memory, so don't take this as gospel. There's a little bear mine on the prospect, and I am sure that they'd done a bulk sample back in the 1930s, and it was something ridiculous, like 1,300 grams per ton that they were getting gold. I mean, it's off the scale. I've never heard anything like that before in my life.
I can remember what you're, like I said, off memory, but yes, it was something around those grades. And you can just see that these things can be very I reckon that there was a relatively narrow vein system, but extremely high grade. And you find these zones where kind of kinks and within the fault structure create concentrations of these gold, and they become just these very extremely high grade zones within there. Actually, I was as an example of how high grade these systems can be. I guess another project in the region would be the Pure Gold's assets just to the northwest of them. Maybe some distance away, but still within the Ontario area. And within them, they have a particular zone. I'm going to try and remember what it's called. I do apologize. I'm scratching through my notes as I was talking to the team just the other day. But this particular zone could hold within it over a million ounces on its own, having intercepted grades as high as 300 grams a ton in these drill intercepts. So you suddenly realize when you've got something as high grade as 300 grams a ton within a very small area, well, that can become a million ounces because it is so high grade. Yeah. And that's something, again, that you need to be aware of when you're looking at these projects, is that though there may be low grade intercepts initially, you are still looking at a very polka dot looking ore body. It isn't one big slab of meat. It's lots of it's lots of speckled high grade zones within there. And I think that's potentially what the Little Bear project had found. It was an area which had been historically mined, and it's one of these little pockets. Now, just because they've found one pocket and there's one little pocket, probably indicates that actually a long strike or potentially off a parallel structure, you're also going to find the similar sorts of ore bodies, because the same sorts of fluids and the same mechanisms are occurring for that mineralization.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, the fluid geophysics in 2020 across the whole footprint, and I mean, I remember when the RNS came out, and it caught my eye. So there was a total of 253 geophysical anomalies have been identified, with 39 designated for priority investigation. So they've got their work cut out for this year, and they've got plenty to be going with. It should be really interesting to see what they do in the next 6 to 9 months. I mean, they've got so many targets here. It's a fantastic position. You've got your own property that's, you know, the survey's thrown up all these targets, and you've got people round about that have got a resource and are drilling the hell out of it. So it's two great projects they've got in a great area. And the good thing with Panther is they've acquired these really cheaply. There's not been like millions and millions spent and acquiring these prospects. I think the future's rosy for Panther and Ontario, definitely.
They're in a good area, aren't they, generally?
Yeah.
Very mineral 100%, rich.
Yeah. Now, and then there's so many producing mines in the area, and the general Hemlo area, that you know, the infrastructure's there, the skill sets, you know, the people, the geologists, you know, everything's there, ready. So, yeah. Dan and the team have done a good job sort of quietly assembling this. I mean, they didn't rush in and just grab everything that was available. You know, they started with a big bear. You know, they picked up a small footprint, and then they've built on it, and they've built this, you know, this contiguous block, and then they've done the same with Dotted Lake. You know, they got the initial footprint, and then they picked up a much larger area. So, yeah, looks really interesting. And all I can say is I'm quite glad we never talked about Australia as well, because we've been talking for 45 minutes already. So it would have been a hell of a long podcast if we had to talk about Australia as well.
No, but we can leave that to another one, I think. Focus on Canada. It's not an area where we've really spoken about before, is it? But as you say, I mean, there's a lot going on, and with Power Metals also taking licenses basically just next to Panther, and of course the companies you mentioned there in the area, It's definitely interesting stuff going on there. But Charlie, I wonder, maybe just to summarize, perhaps, you sort of mentioned it before, but could you summarize in a few words what you'd be looking out for, or why, as a geologist, I know you don't work for Panther, but let's say you did, let's say you were given the opportunity to go out on site, what would be exciting you, and what would you be looking out for?
Well, initially, we'll be really attracting or making it. The thing that is exciting me about this region is the number of early stage explorers that are moving back into the area. Mm-hmm. And they're not just any old explorers. When you go onto some of these the websites and the webinars and look at who's actually exploring, the geologists behind it, it's behind them, they've all got very good credentials. And that's a good starting point. Mm. Looking for explorers, where are they exploring? That's very good. The next one is, of course, what are they doing? And a lot of them are doing the same thing Panther are doing. They're de-risking as far as they can at surface, and then they're looking to doing some drill holes at depth. And mm-hmm. Panther have got the opportunity to look for two systems simultaneously, which is quite incredible. Mm. And so that'll be the next point. And maybe noting that, of course, these magmatic sulfides won't be necessarily as obvious at surface as the gold, being that we have got some very exciting grab and channel samples at surface. They're very good indicators of gold being mineralizing in the area. But let's see what these systems are underground. Let's see how extensive they are and the alteration features that any drilling campaign pulls up finds. I guess the last thing I'd probably say is that monster deposits, because of their size, they're very difficult. They find it very hard to hide. Mm-hmm. So once we've got some geochemistry in there, then we will certainly be able to see whether or not we've got something within that area quite quickly. I think certainly for the gold system, maybe it'll be a little harder for the magmatic system. But I'm very excited, and I'll be following what the Panther do closely in the future.
Okay. Well, as I'm sure we will be, and Panther shareholders. So thank you, Charlie, for that. It's always great to have you on and get your insights. And I'm sure we'll be speaking again soon on other projects, but of course Panther as well. We can come back to Panther as more exploration is carried out there. But yeah, fantastic. Thank you very much for now.
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I think, Mark, we should get Darren on pretty quickly after doing this podcast, because obviously it's going to refresh my memory going through, you know, what Panther have in the area. So it'd be good to get him on and say, look, we've done this podcast with Charlie, blah, blah, blah. You know, what's the roadmap like for the first 6 months? And we can get it straight from the horse's mouth.
I'm sure
he'll be able to give us a rough outline of what the plans is for both the prospects, but it'll probably be evolving all the time because of all the activity that's going on round about them. So yeah, it's a great position for them to be in. So, but yeah, thanks Charlie for coming on. Always appreciate your insight, and enjoyed that. It was really good.
That's okay. Well, thanks for having me on, and I'm really looking forward to Panther. How they progress. Such an exciting area.
Cool.
Perfect. Great. All right. Good stuff.
Thanks.
Right, we'll let you go on with your day, Charlie, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
No worries. Yes.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Awesome. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Market Musings with Fairbairn and Russell. Tune in next time.